We're here in the Congressional Corner with Tim Versalotti, who I consider to be one of the brightest guys when it comes to analyzing our contemporary politics. He's director of the Western New England University Poll. He's been there for quite a while, and professor of political science. Boy, do I wish I was in one of his classes. In any case, Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go down. I want to talk to you about a number of people. Let's start with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff comes out there, and he has been anointed, for want of a better word, by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, as the lead in the impeachment inquiry, which is very interesting to me because you have other people like Jerry Nadler and others who have not been so appointed, anointed. There's something about him that I think she finds appealing from a public perspective. What do you make of it?
Yeah, he's a fellow Californian, and they're from the same delegation. He also comes across as a very careful and thoughtful and serious legislator when he is giving interviews on TV. I think Pelosi may have thought, who can we get to put out there, though, to be the pinata for supporters of President Trump? Who can be the public face of this investigation? And she felt that perhaps, and I can only speculate, no one can really understand the speaker's motivations if she's not sharing them. But I think she may have calculated, and she's an old hand at political calculations, that he would come across as serious and thoughtful, interested in getting to the truth, and that he could withstand, he could take the hits, the body blows that he was bound to get. And we saw that in the House with a resolution condemning him put forward by the Republican leadership in the House. It wasn't just a rogue group of Republican lawmakers. This had the institutional backing of the party. And because the Democrats control the House, it was easily turned back. But I suspect the Speaker thought, here's a guy who can take it, who can keep his eye on the objectives of this investigation, articulate the reasons, defend it, and see it to a not a conclusion, perhaps. It does have to end up in the Judiciary Committee at some point, but at least advance the investigation in a way that is credible and acceptable to the American people.
Let's go down the line. I'll name somebody and we can talk a little bit about their public persona and how they're being perceived, but let's go start with Mitch McConnell.
Sure. So it depends on your point of view, your partisanship, but McConnell is viewed as the master legislator, as majority leader of the Senate. He knows the institution, he knows its rules, he knows how to get things done or keep things from getting done if he disagrees with those things. He has managed to run and win again and again in Kentucky. He's got a credible potential opponent in Amy McGrath, former fighter pilot who ran for a House seat in Kentucky in 2018 and fell just short. She is raising boatloads of money. She raised $2.5 million the day she announced her candidacy for the Senate, but it's going to be an uphill struggle. McConnell is one of these individuals who is a polarizing figure. He is well liked by the base. He is loathed by Democrats, and he's as we saw in previous cycles where the Republicans used Nancy Pelosi as a fundraising mechanism, the Democrats use Mitch McConnell all the time in that regard as well.
Well, he has a 30, at the last time I looked, he had a 33% national appeal. But as we have always said, you and I, Tim, it all depends on who you got to run against. And when
That's
it's a
right.
head-to-head, it's a very close race.
That's right. That's right. And he remains popular in Kentucky. Kentucky's a funny state, though. It has a habit of electing Democratic governors. And although there aren't a lot of major races on the ballot for this coming election on Tuesday, November 5th, Kentucky is one of three states that is electing a governor, and its incumbent governor, a Republican, Matt Bevin, is in trouble. His opponent, Andy Beshear, whose father served as governor of Kentucky, is running a very close race. The polling has it close. Matt Bevin has decided to embrace President Trump and make clear that he is working in lockstep with Trump because Trump is still pretty popular in Kentucky. And this will be a bellwether of sorts that what is the key issue? Now, Beshear will say, hey, it's not impeachment. I'm running on the economy, the need to restore jobs in coal mining communities, the need to expand Medicaid, which Bevin has contracted during his time as governor. And so watch Kentucky on Tuesday. It'll be very interesting to see where the state goes. It might give a few bits of information in terms of what Mitch McConnell may be facing in his reelection bid in 2020. We'll have
to see.
Okay,
I got to ask you real quickly. Does bourbon have anything to do with it? No. Okay, forget it. That was a very bad question. Okay, let's talk about Richie Neal, one of my favorite people, but who has a very aggressive, somewhat to the left, progressive opponent. And we know that some people who we've always taken for granted they can't be beaten can be. So what do you make of it?
Oh, this is another fascinating race. Yeah, this will be a primary in the first district. And our first sense of Alex Morse's electoral viability was his third quarter campaign report. He raised $217,000 in that third quarter. Not bad for a guy making his first run for Congress. Spent about $94,000 of that. He's got about $123,000 cash on hand. But he's able to raise some money. The challenge is Neal has always been a very successful fundraiser. He's got about $4.3 million in the bank at the close of business on September 30th. That'll be a tough advantage for Morse to overcome. It's going to come down to organizing, canvassing, having the ground forces in place to take on an entrenched incumbent. There are lots of progressive Democrats outside of Springfield, so in Morse's home base in Holyoke, but also in a lot of these little towns in Berkshire County who are eager to get involved, to knock on some doors, make some calls, see if they can bring a strong challenge to Representative Neal. So again, this is one to watch. Our primary next year, both statewide with the Senate race and in the first district with this race, is just going to be fascinating.
No, it is fascinating. One of the most progressive things that's happening in our society is that people who are gay run for office, and they should. It's terrific. Now, obviously, Neal's opponent is gay, and it makes no bones about it. The question for you is, does it help or hurt?
I don't think it's a factor. Morse has run multiple times for mayor of Holyoke. Holyoke is a classic New England mill town with an aging population whom you would assume would be very traditional in its outlook. And yet his elections have not been very dramatic. He's won with some comfortable margins there. So it could be that the time is changing. If we look nationally and see that among the top four presidential contenders is Pete Buttigieg, an openly gay man,
sure.
Times have changed, public attitudes and mores have changed. And so I don't expect this to be an issue for Morse, certainly not in the first district, which is, of course, heavily Democratic and fairly progressive in its views.
One of my favorite Republicans in the world is Bill Weld, who is, of course, announcing that he's going to run in a primary against Mr. Trump. So the question for you is, you know, is it just a sacrificial lamb, or is he just being Bill Weld, who has done some very interesting things in the past?
I think it's being Bill Weld. He's saying, I've got the time. And he's got the standing in the party, a classic Northeast moderate Republican, although we must point out he gravitated to the Libertarian Party and ran on their ticket in 2016. I think he's saying he still has statements to make, arguments to make, and he wants to be out there. And he's got company. The former Congressman Joe Walsh is out there. Former South Carolina Governor and Congressman Mark Sanford is out there as well. They're a trio who are making the rounds and making these arguments for an alternative to President Trump. So I don't think it's a serious threat to the president's chances for renomination. No. But there are voices out there to talk about not just the party as it stands now, but where the Republican Party heads after President Trump. And these three candidates are trying to articulate a vision in that regard.
You know, in Massachusetts, as you know better than anybody, as our preeminent political scientist, is as an unenrolled voter, I can take a ballot in either party, Republican or Democrat. And I think this year I'll take one in the Republican Party, and I may well cast it for Bill Weld. You know,
that is your right. Absolutely.
That is my right. We are out of time. The next time you come on, I wanted to ask you about Maura Healey and how she's doing, and Governor Baker and how he's doing. But in the meantime, we thank you so much, Tim Barzilotti, for everything that you do for WAMC and being with us. We so appreciate it.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.